Good morning, Solid Ground. Good morning, Solid Ground. I just want to tell you, it's such a privilege for Harry and myself to be here. And as they said, building relationships with different churches. And I want to say I'm bringing a warm, sunny love hug from South City Church to Solid Ground Church. We come all the way from Ramsgate. We've got a group of people with us here. And we've just been so blessed, but the way that you've received us, looked after our people, hosted us, you are phenomenal. And we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I want to end off by saying that you are a very, very privileged people this morning, because my husband has got jeans on without any holes.
Let's stretch our hands. Let's pray for the man without holy jeans. Father, we open our hearts to receive your message this morning. Thank you for Harry and for Wendy and the team from South City. Will you bless your word to our hearts? And Lord, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
I believe that God has a two-word message for all of you this morning. And especially for you, Renus, and for Ash, I believe God is saying two words. Welcome home. Welcome home, Choma. Welcome home. That goes for all of you that are here this morning. If you're married, if you're single, if you're divorced, if you're filthy rich or dirt poor, God is saying to you this morning, welcome home. If you're as skinny as a rake or could afford to lose a few pounds, God is saying, you're home. If you can sing like Michael Bublé or like Pierre in front here who can't keep a note in a bucket, God wants to say, you're home. If you're here this morning and you're just browsing, thanks. Or if you're here and you've just woken up, or if you're here and you've just gotten out of jail, God wants to say, welcome home, my boy. If you're here and you're more Catholic than the Pope, or if you're back in church after many years, the last time you set foot in a church is when your cousin got married, God wants to say to you, welcome home. God wants to specially welcome those who are still serving him. You're 60 and above. God wants to say to you this morning, welcome home. To you teenagers, God is saying you're growing up too fast, but welcome. You need to stop listening to Charity Gale. You need to switch off those worship CDs and listen to Dire Straits for a change. Because you haven't lived until you've listened to Dire Straits. But God says, welcome home to you young ones. You're the guys who are going to change this country. There, you. Taxi moms. Super sport addicted dads. Mountain biking brothers. Golfing widows. tree huggers, cappuccino drinkers. God is saying, you're home. Vegetarians, you're not welcome. My name is Rory Dyer. And the complaints department, who's the biggest oak in this church? Willie, staan gou op. This is Willie. Any complaints about the sermon today, talk to Willie. If your breath smells of alcohol, or worse, garlic, God wants to say, welcome home. If you're in addiction or on the road to recovery, if you're feeling down in the dumps, if you blew your last cent on the lotto last night, God still says, welcome home. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those of you who are here this morning because grandma's in town and she wants to come to church. For those of you who got lost in the traffic and wound up here by accident, God's saying, welcome. Tourists, seekers, doubters, the bleeding, God is saying, make yourself right at home. Make yourself right at home. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
So the last time I did an introduction like that, I got a rousing round of applause. Yo, come on. it is such a privilege to be here with you. This is a special church. Special people. Indeed. So let's crack on. Let's in our mind's eye drift back to that weekend that saved the world. Christ died on that middle cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And I'm going to pick up the story there. These aunties who on the Sunday run to his grave. Okay? And they arrive there. And verse 5 says, they arrive there and they met by an angel. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Verse 6 says, he's not here. He has risen. You see, without those seven little words in the Bible, this book becomes just a tragic story of man who died a terrible death. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Without those seven words, this is just a sad story. He is not here. He has risen. And then the angel says this to them, and I want to highlight this. The angel says, he's not here, he has risen, just as he said. And then the angel says to the ladies, come and see where he lay. You girls, come and see. Verse 7 says, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. Okay, so basically what I want to do is just highlight these two phrases. Come and see, and then quickly go and tell. So the Christian life starts with, we've all come and seen. Amen?
Yeah.
And then we're meant to quickly go and tell. Amen. come and see, and then quickly go and tell. So look what happens next in verse 8. It says, so the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Verse 10 says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Here it comes. Do not be afraid. Go and tell. Go and tell my brothers to head off to Galilee. There they'll see me. The Christian life starts with come and see. And then we're all meant to quickly go and tell. Can I hear an amen? So I just said in the first service, the tragic thing is that all of you have come and seen, but you're missing out on the greatest adventure ever, the great commit. Go and tell. So I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to read you a story from God's word to show you that God plans to use you to reach those who are far from God. And listen, solid ground, I'm talking to you, not the oak sitting next to you. God wants to kneecap you this morning. You know what I say about kneecap? Kneecap? Pierre, kom hier, dan wys ons gou vir hulle hoe ons mekaar kneecap. Kom hier, ou. Kom hier, ou. This is what God wants to do with you today. Pretend you're sitting. Okay. So, ons sit op stoele, my ou, bring jou knie nader. Teen myne.
Way too old for this.
So you see, he can look nowhere else but here. When our kneecaps are together. God wants to kneecap you today. Amen. Okay. So, here we go. Here we go. Here's a story. 1 John verse 43. And I know these O's put it on here. At South City, you can ask the guys. I refuse for the guys to put the scripture on the screen. Because you need to bring your gun to church. Okay, you get lazy because they're going to throw the scripture up on the screen. Okay, but I prefer you to use your Bible or your iPad or your iPhone or whatever. Are you guys with me? Here we go. Here's a story from verse 43. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Now, bearing in mind, we want to learn today how God plans to use you to reach the people in Middelburg who are far from God. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, I'm hoping as I'm reading it that you're seeing this picture in your mind's eye. Here's Philip coming to a friend, Nathanael, saying to him, hey, buddy, we found him. My oh, he's here. He's here. Nathanael's response, Nazareth. Who of you live in Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? This is what the Bible says, buddy. Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. I'm just kidding, eh? Wim, don't take offense. Watch what Philip does. He says, come and see. Just like the angel said to the ladies, come and see. Philip says, come and see. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you. I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Okay, so here's the big idea of the story. Solid ground. Philip, he's the Christ follower. Amen? Nathanael is the not Christ follower. Okay? And in the story, Jesus uses Philip to find Nathanael. Are we good? Okay? But I just want to pull six things from the scripture to equip you for the task ahead. You've been commissioned on the greatest adventure on earth, and that is to take the good news from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and that includes Middleburg. Six principles from our story to see how Jesus takes Philip and he uses him to reach Nathanael. Are we good? Right, number one. I want you to notice that as we read the story, when Jesus comes into Philip's life, he already has Nathanael in his sights. When Jesus comes into Philip's life, he's already checking the dude sitting under the fig tree. Are you guys with me? Okay, so here's the point I'm trying to make. When Christ came into your life, he has others in sight. When Christ came into your life, he has your friends, your family, your relational network in his sights. Can I hear an amen? When Christ moved upon you, he had others in sight. I was the hidden, you'll never believe it, that I was unsaved once. No? Angel like me, unsaved. You flip and dig it. And I was a headmaster. Villarisi Viltain, bro. And I used to, my wife taught at this fancy private school in town, and I knew that at break times, they would feed their staff very royally. And I would make sure that I'm there. So I'd hop in my car and shoot over for that school's break under the guise of visiting Wendy. But I'm there for the food. Lekker Samis. You know? And the one day there, I'm friends with a guy called Mike Clark. And I know Mike loves to eat. And he's got a sweet tooth of note, oh Mikey. And there I'm stuffing my face and I'm noticing that Mike is not eating. And I'm like this, Mike, why are you not eating, bro? What's wrong with you? You know that guy was fasting for me. I only heard this many months later. That man was fasting for me to come to Christ. For me to say yes, to go to an alpha course that was going down in town. Wendy said she was going. I said, forget it. You've got to be kidding me. Christians, no way. So she said, she's going. I don't have to come. I can stay at home with my beers and my cigarettes. And then I heard that there was free food on the first night. I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. I was broken. I was sick. I thought maybe this guy can help me. Maybe this guy. And I watched and I thought, maybe this guy. Oh, and he used Philip to bring me. You don't have to even ask God to define your mission field. It's been largely defined. It's your friends, it's your family, it's your relational network. And guess what? God is sending a missionary right into the middle of them. You. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. When God moved upon you, He intends to move on many others. Number two, I want you to notice that Philip goes to Nathanael. He doesn't wait for Nathanael to come to him. Okay, so let's unpack that thing. It says in verse 43, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael. You see that? Jesus went to Philip. Philip wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus went to Philip. Philip goes to Nathanael. Nathanael is not looking for Philip. Oh, are we good? So here's what I want to say to you. Here, the simple idea. The people in Middleburg that are far from God are not looking for God. But He is looking for them. Amen. Sometimes they are. Most of the times, not. That's why I teach my church, you can ask these guys. We need to live our lives, and I believe it's a gospel mandate that we need to be living our lives outwardly. You and I, we need to be living our lives outwardly. I say if they're on the beach, then we go to the beach with them. Boop and all, we go to the beach with them. If they're watching rugby, we watch ruggers with them. Or soccer. Or carp fishing. That's what jylle ouens mos, jylle vou mos karpe hier. If they're at work, you work alongside them. If they shoot out for lunch, we shoot out to lunch with them. We don't sit here waiting for Nathanael to come here. Can I hear an amen? Because he's not. He's not. That canyon is too wide. It's too big for him. Because he thinks that you're all such holy people. Such nice spiritual beings. And you intimidate him. He's not going to come here. You need to go to him. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We make the mistake of so naively think all we need to do is to come to church or the prayer meeting that the elders have called. And then we'll pray these fluffy prayers that God would send Nathanael to church. But I'm saying, no man, pray those prayers, but flip and get out there amongst the people. Yeah. Get out there. I said, that's all wrong. You're meant to be going to Nathanael. That's the biblical pattern right here. Don't wait for him to come to you. I love what Paul says, the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, listen carefully. He says, I do all I can. Say, all I can. I do all I can to build common ground with my culture. To win some for God. Solid ground. You need to find common ground with your culture. I mean, if I had to dress like you Middleburgers, where I come from, You know, you guys with your khakis and your fellies and your, you weet, your boerboer broekie. Yeah. You know, and they'll think I'm from Planet Pink. So I wear jeans that are torn, tackies, rolled up, t-shirt, because my culture is this culture. So I speak like them. I use the word brew and house it and my China. But maybe I should tell them the joke about my China. Is that a bit wild? Okay. I say this, we need to adapt to our culture to win some for God. Listen to me, adapt, we don't adopt. We don't adopt sinful ways. We don't go out there sinning with them, but we adapt to culture in order to win some for God. Amen? You must do all you can to build common ground with your culture because Jesus did that. Jesus did that. I mean, I call it his inside ministry, and then there's this thing I like to call his outside ministry. His inside ministry in the Gospels. You can go and study it. It's his work with the disciples. It's his work with those guys close to him. His work in the church, the synagogue, and the temple. But every page that you open in the Gospels, you'll see our King on his way somewhere. Either to someone or to some gig, or he's just back from some miracle that he... hooking up with everyday people. Jesus, that's where you find him. Hey? Often those on the margins. The heavy drinkers. The happy hour crowd. That's where you'll find Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come on. The sexually immoral, the tax collectors. That's where you find them. Jesus loved Stoutgatter. He was always after the naughty-os. That includes you and me. You'll find him outside, man, by swimming pools. By under porty, you'll find him at parties. Jesus loved the party. Loved that good party. He loved the good party. You'll often find him on the beach. He loved fishing, but real fishing, not carp fishing. And if you compare his inside ministry with this, you go do the exercise. This one trumps this one every time. Outside. Even when he worked with his inside boys. Let me show you something. When he wanted to teach his disciples more about mission, you know what he did? He took them outside and they went fishing. When he wanted to show them the presence of the kingdom of God, you know what he did? He took them outside to villages where the sick and the lame lay waiting for a miracle. Took them outside. And then when he wanted to teach them about faith, he took them outside and he said, you see this foreigner, bro, this oh has got faith. Jesus never said, come follow me so that we can stay in the church together. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He never said that. He never said, come follow me, and then we'll barricade ourselves in here because the world is broken and it's an evil place. That's not what he said. When Jesus said, come follow me, it was a war cry to get the message of hope into Middelburg and into Ramsgate. It was a war cry. Come on. You can stay here with all your lacquer Christian buddies. You're missing half the adventure because it's out there where the King is busy changing, where he's redeeming lives and renewing creation. It's out there. Maar dis so flippe lekker by die kerk hou. It's so lekker in church. You know, you get this fuzzy feeling, yeah. You go all woozy. Because it's Sunday's coming, I'm going to be with all these nice people. That's cool. But that's only half the adventure. Amen? Adventure lies out there, man. You can play it safe. You can stay here. You're going to miss out on what God's doing. You're going to miss out. Okay, point number three. Philip points Nathanael to Jesus with simple words. Just listen to me, solid ground. Simple words. We don't read that Philip said, hey, Nathanael, wait a second. And he, out of his pocket, he pulls a six-page preach on flippin' eschatology. He just says, not put. See that guy there? That's him. That's him. That's the guy Moses wrote about. That's the guy we read about. All the prophecy. Simple words. We found him. We found him. You see, Nathanael is a Jew. He would have been steeped in the law. And he would know that Scripture promises a Messiah. Amen? Scripture promises a Savior. And here is Philip saying, hey, oh. See that guy there? That's him. That's him. Can I share something about simple words with you? Listen more than you talk. Are you with me? God's given you two ears and one mouth. When God opens a door for you to communicate with Nathanael, listen. Listen, try and understand Nathanael before you try and make yourself understood. Understand? Yes. Simple words. Listen more than you talk. Don't force. Don't Bible bash. Don't shove it down their throats. Are you with me, guys? Okay. You've just had a conversation with Nathanael, and Nathanael has agreed to come to a word and prayer group. Because that's the way in, eh? So you text your word and prayer group leader. Now Johnny is far from God. Johnny has a reputation here in Middleburg second to none. He's a wild man. And you've said to him, hey, come to our... Now you're texting your word and prayer group guy. And he receives the text and he thinks to himself, yes. And he gets that Johnny Bravo glint in his left eye. And then he goes to his bookshelf and he pulls off the heaviest King James Bible he has in his dictionary, in his library. And he puts it by the foyer door. And he clock watches all day. 6 o'clock. Can't wait for 6 o'clock to come. And yeah, by 5 to 6, he goes to the front door with his King James, waiting for the sinner to arrive on his doorstep. And as Johnny steps onto the porch, the word and prayer leader runs to him and smacks him across the head with this Bible cover drive. And that's not how we're going to win Johnny. Can I hear an amen? You're going to chase Johnny away, mate. He's going to, I teach my guys, when Johnny comes, we don't even say grace, man. When Johnny comes, we light the fire. Text, I'm going to bring a boerewors for non braai ons. Hey, we love Johnny. Johnny needs to see it. We're just normal oaks. We love rugby, weather, surfing, carp fishing. But we love Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We love Johnny into the kingdom that way. Simple words, man. Okay. I want you to see that Philip is not thrown by Nathaniel's objection. Did you see what Nathaniel did? What? Can anything good come from? So there's a pushback to Philip's invitation. And I want to say to you, solid ground, don't get thrown by a pushback. Don't get thrown by a pushback. You'd think that Nathaniel would say, yeah, I'm in. You cannot, the wait is over. I'm in. But this boy doesn't. He pushes back. He says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And I want to say this to you, that I believe that Nathaniel had two kinds of objections. The one was personal, and the one was intellectual. Two objections. Here's Philip saying, hey, Nathaniel, see that over there? That's him. And Nathaniel's going, what? No way. No way. Number one, he's not going to follow someone who's from Nazareth, because Nathaniel is from Bethsaida, far bigger town than Nazareth. Nazareth was known as the armpit of the empire. Here's a dude from Nazareth, and on top of it, Isaiah says this is what Jesus looked like. It says the servant, in Isaiah 53 verse 2, it says, the servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a crummy plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. That's Nathaniel going, that was a muchie. No ways. His father should have gotten him a gym contract when he was 16. He's a muchie. You guys know what I'm saying? So he's got this personal thing, and then intellectually he's saying, but Philip, scripture says that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. This guy is from Nazareth. It doesn't line up. But here's the deal. He was born in Bethlehem, but he moved to Nazareth to fulfill the prophecies of Micah 5:2. Are you guys with me? Okay. So, don't get thrown. Don't get thrown. I just want to say this. When you get a pushback, can I ask you not to waffle and mess it up? When you get a pushback, don't mess it up. Let's learn something from Philip. Okay? Watch what he does. Watch what he does. He says, come and see. Come see. Now, I want to ask you, solid ground, if you know that these elders here preach Jesus front, middle, back, where are your friends? Where's your family? They need to come and see. Can I hear an amen? Amen. They need to come and see. Come and see. And I just want to mention this, that it was just a simple invitation. Hey, Chuma. Hey, my friend. Just come and see. Come and see. And I want to say to you that the culture of the invite needs to be resurrected. Because in our culture and time, it's dead. People don't open their homes anymore. We need to resurrect the culture of the invite. Hey, oh, come to my place. You think God gave you that 12-seater dining room table because he wants to increase your standard of living? No, blah. Open your house. Get some O's in there. Get some Nathaniels in there. Invite them to your small group. It's not Philip, number six, but Jesus that does the saving. Amen? So the pressure is off. Here's the point I'm making. Philip points Nathaniel to Jesus. But in the end, it's Jesus who needs to make himself real to Nathaniel. Okay? All we are called to do, church, is organize the date. Come see. Come see. And we'll trust the Holy Spirit to move upon Nathaniel as the men up here position themselves under the word of God. Say amen. Amen. Come see. Come see. Our pastor, he dresses funny. Come see. You know? It's God's work to woo Nathaniel. It's your work to organize the date. Pressure is not on you, Philip. The pressure is on Jesus. All you do is put them together. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. So let's summarize this quickly and then we're done. You need to know that when Jesus moved upon you, he had others in his sight. We good? You need to get to Nathaniel. He's not going to come here. You need to get to Nathaniel. Go to him. Simple words. Don't preach on eschatology. Simple words. Come see. Come see. We make the best coffee in Middleburg. Come taste. Come taste. Come taste. Don't get thrown by an objection. You're going to get 7 slaps before you get 1 hit. I can tell you, don't get thrown by an objection. Keep at it. Keep at it. Resurrect solid ground, the culture of the invite. Resurrect it. Make that thing alive again. When last did you have someone in your home that is far from God? Resurrect the culture of the invitation. And then I want to set you free, Philip. You're not the one who saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Won't you stand with me? I just want to say this. The Nathaniels of Middleburg don't know what's coming their way. I want to encourage you in saying this. Nathaniel's best is yet to come. I'm telling you, solid ground. The future leaders of the church, they're throwing chairs around in the billiard halls of our city. Mole my O. Nathaniel. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen. strengthen this church in the commission that you've given them to go and tell, to be your ambassadors, to go and find Nathaniel and to invite him to come and see, come and feast, come and eat, come and taste. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said,